You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
National MP Greg Fleming is pushing for cross-party support for an anti-trafficking legislation to expand on his members' bill. This comes as recent court documents and child welfare agencies have shown cases of adoptive parents with criminal histories abusing children who have been adopted from overseas. I spoke to a board member of EPCAT Child Alert, an organisation aimed at ending child sexual exploitation, Rebecca Kingy, about current anti-trafficking legislation in Aotearoa and what these proposed changes aim to do. To start, for those unaware, what changes is Fleming aiming for with how our current system operates regarding human trafficking?
I think a really good place to start, just so there can be understanding of the importance of what Greg has been working on, is that in order for a state, including New Zealand, to combat human trafficking effectively, it's really important that we have the correct legislation and policies and practices in place. So that's legislation in relation to prosecution, in relation to prevention, and in relation to support, protection for victims. What Greg is proposing are two specific pieces of proposed legislation he has in the works. So the first one is a members' bill that is currently before the House, and this is in relation to amendments to the Crimes Act 1961. The bill, as currently drafted, includes amendments to sentencing provisions related to offences similar to trafficking for slavery, exploitation. But there has been widespread call, and which Greg completely endorses and also asks for, to widen this bill in scope to include amendments to New Zealand's trafficking in persons criminal provisions. And this is essential. Effectively, what we have at the moment is a criminal provision for trafficking that doesn't correctly reflect the international law, and in doing so doesn't correctly reflect the actual trafficking activity that is happening in New Zealand, including child trafficking. So we want to see specific amendments that provide for the correct child trafficking activity to be captured, so the removal of the means requirement for children. This is the removal of deception or coercion. This is because children, they are so vulnerable, right? And often in severe circumstances, we're actually, we need to ensure that we can effectively combat that exploitative conduct that's taking place and have laws that reflect the vulnerability of children and often their inability to. Yeah, there's no need for deception or coercion in those cases. Other amendments to the section would be making clear, for example, that consent is a relevant interest in cases for both adults and children. It also includes in making sure that we define exploitation correctly in New Zealand, so make sure sexual exploitation that doesn't just involve commercial sexual exploitation is captured. So I'm conscious of getting into the weeds here, but I think what I'm sort of showing is that actually our current provisions have significant gaps. They're affecting the ability to prosecute, investigate and identify trafficking activity that is happening here. And Greg has a vehicle currently before the House that would allow for those amendments to be made and for us to see significant change in months. However, there is a broader piece of work that we need to be aware of here. So this is just one area that New Zealand has significant gaps in its legislation. But we have far broader gaps in relation to other areas, including support for victims and including our reporting requirements on New Zealand corporate entities. So unlike other countries such as Australia, the UK, movements in the EU, New Zealand doesn't currently have any reporting requirements around modern slavery, risks and instances in the supply chains of New Zealand entities. So if I could take us back to last year in December, myself and my co-authors, Rebecca Armstrong and Jacob Parry, we worked with Greg Fleming and Camilla Belich from Labour and put together a comprehensive cross-party bill that would effectively cover all of these issues in New Zealand. So both these criminal provisions, the lack of support framework for victims, which is significantly lacking in our country, and as well as reporting requirements for corporate entities that strongly align with Australia reporting, setting New Zealand entities up for success. Where we're at right now is that Greg has put a further bill in the ballot, so this one has not been pulled out. This one is still in the biscuit tin, and that bill just covers the reporting aspects of a proposed, that proposed broader proposed this piece of work that we did. So we've almost lifted those provisions. And I think what we have before us, right, are two opportunities to start to move the dial and have significant impact in the short term as well as the long term. We have the current Crimes Act bill before the House that could be expanded in scope. I don't see any reason, from even a procedural reason, why that would be an issue, and we could get that Crimes Act issues resolved. And then we have Greg's other bill, which covers the reporting requirements, and it's a significant start to get New Zealand on track to fill these broader gaps. And given that those sections that he's put forward in his proposed members' bill, they reflect policy legislative drafting that would be cross-party, there is opportunity here for broader buy-in. And I think there's a really exciting provision in our parliamentary procedure rules that allow for a bill to skip being drawn from the ballot and go straight to introduction if 61 non-executive MPs get behind it. So we know Labor have shown great support for the comprehensive bill that we drafted, and given that the reporting provisions reflect that, it would be great if we could actually have political consensus and see New Zealand move forward on this. Modern slavery and trafficking persons is not a politically contentious issue. It absolutely should not be. And I think it's absolutely vitally important that New Zealand pulls up its stocks in this area, especially for those that are currently suffering, at risk of, or who have suffered trafficking and exploitation in our country.
Do gaps in our current system make human trafficking maybe easier in New Zealand as opposed to what we're seeing overseas?
It's a great question. I think what can often happen in New Zealand is we can have this almost culture of indifference or ignorance because we think, hey, we're an island. We're a much smaller country than other countries offshore. You know, the number of victims might be less than other countries. And so we think it's not something we need to worry about, or it's not something that's such as a risk for us as other countries. But I just really want to challenge that mindset and perhaps that accidental ignorance, because what we're talking about here is severe and significant harm. And if you looked at other crime types, right, we wouldn't be saying, oh, well, New Zealand's a smaller country, so there's going to be less murders here than in another huge country, so we're not going to have robust criminal settings. Of course not. We actually have international obligations that require us to have effective mechanisms to combat trafficking in persons. We've ratified the Palermo Protocol as a country, as a state, and we've been ranked by the US as Tier 2. So this is in their annual United States TIP report, where they look at each country's response to trafficking in persons. So Tier 2 is a downgrade from Tier 1, and that means we're not meeting the minimum standards required to address trafficking in persons effectively. So actually, I would say we could look at countries that have perhaps far more risk on the surface of trafficking in persons, and they are well ahead of us in terms of the mechanisms they have in place, both in terms of their legislation and their operational response. And New Zealand needs to swallow a humble pill here and realise that we are far behind the status quo. There is significant more that we need to be doing, and we should have been doing it for years. And so if that, in summary of your question, we have risk here, the activity is happening, and we absolutely need the right settings in place to stop it, prevent it and address it.
Are special considerations needed to tend to children specifically, and is what is being proposed specifically discussing the needs of children?
So yes, in terms of the international law that sits around trafficking of persons and the sale of children, there are very specific things that a state needs to do that would go that would be specific to the risk to children and the harm to children. Again, reflecting the vulnerability of children, the risk to children. Children, I guess, are in a position where they just have far less autonomy or power an ability to combat or prevent or react to something that is leading them or has put them in an exploitative situation. And as a state, we have obligations to make sure we are protecting them. And so the specific amendments to the Crimes Act bill that is currently before the House, so this is Greg's bill, this would include changes that are specific to children. It does include changes that are also broader and would help adults. And let's be clear, you need both. It's not either or. But, of course, we need to make sure that we have got our settings correct for children especially. So at ECPAT, we are a charity that focuses on combating child exploitation. So as an organisation, we've been working with others in the sector for many years around ensuring that New Zealand reforms these legislative settings, because, quite frankly, at the moment, we are cultivating an environment by failing to put the right prevention mechanisms in place, by failing to have the right prosecution response, by failing to address the policy settings and the legislation settings that are allowing this to happen in our country. We could be cultivating this environment, and it's just absolutely not acceptable. It's really, really important when thinking about children as well to recognise, again, that this shouldn't be political in any sense. And it is concerning that it's taken so long for there to be movement in this space, and that's why there's a really robust call here for Greg's bill to move through the House, that we can get these changes through in a matter of months and not have to wait for 30 years for reviews, for parliamentary reforms, for plans of action that sort of look nice and pretty on paper, but in practice get delayed, or that actually serve as a bit of a tick box, to be frank. We want to see real change, and we need it right now to protect those children that are currently suffering in our country.
That was Rebecca Kingy, a board member for EPCAT Child Alert, on National MP Greg Fleming pushing for cross-party support for anti-trafficking legislation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.